Several weeks ago now, someone approached me and wasn't the first person to do this, but they're a believer, and they were saying, you know, I just want to be used some way. And I appreciated that, and I think in their realm of thinking, by being used in some way, their thought was in a church setting on a Sunday morning as we're gathered together now. And of course that is one way certainly that we do serve the Lord, but it's easy for us to develop a mentality that limits serving the Lord to just one day a week or a few classes a week or whatever, and forgetting the fact that the God that we worship begins to reveal himself in his word as the one who created us. He created 6 days. He's the time of time and space. He created in 6 days. He rests the seventh. And he calls those who are his to reflect that image. And so we work 6 days and we rest on the seventh. But in all of that, we're called, as the old Westminster divines understood, we're called to honor God in all that we do. What's the chief end of man was the first question in the catechism. And the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So whether I happen to be a pastor in a church, that's expected, and there is a high level of responsibility that comes with those responsibilities. But all of us who come to faith in the Lord Jesus are called to serve him and to glorify him. So if I'm taking out the garbage on Wednesday night, that's when they pick it up on Main Street at least, I'm to do that for his glory. If I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing in my life, and I'm just looking around the different responsibilities each of you have, your duties in life, that's our calling. I've been very thankful for believers who have exhibited that and understood it and got it along. And John and Beth have been some of those who have done that over the years in an increasing way, in several ways, really, but not the least of which has been involved in the project that Samaritan's Purse organized some years ago. It's been 20 years. How long have they been doing the Operation Christmas Child? Long time. Packing shoeboxes. You're familiar with that. Getting them out. And so we've done that here and sent them out for a number of years now. And those boxes then go to big packing houses where they're repacked, they're reexamined to make sure they meet the standards of the countries where they're going. And then they're going out. And that's done by a number of volunteers. It's a number of volunteers. And so John and Beth, for a number of years, several years, make you too old here, several years have gone to mostly Boone, North Carolina. I think they went to Dallas, Texas, 1 year, Fort Worth area. And it's good to get the reports back and to see, be introduced to many other people, different denominations, different churches, different races, intellects, all those things, who have come together and they're serving the Lord in that way, but just one of many ways. And so, John, thank you for being willing to do that again today and to share with us. By the way, there is a sheet being passed around, Thinking of Serving, from the Johnny Camps, Johnny Erickson Auto. Where is that now? Where is it? Where is it? Is it still packing? You got it there? Did it make it up here? Yeah. Where did it stop? Did it make it down through here? Okay. We'll see a familiar face. Maybe you already have seen it. I don't know. But Mitchell's involved in that. Some of the Compton kids have been involved in the Johnny Camp. So, John, thank you. Without more ad-libbing here, thank you for doing this for us today.
Thank you. Well, first thing I need to do is get my high technology in order. First of all, is the microphone on? Well, I don't know. Okay. Second thing I need to do is to make sure the projector is on. Okay. Third thing I need to do is put down the window shades. So if you're close to them, go ahead and close them up. And while they're
doing their magic with this stuff, I want to look at a couple of scriptures. By the way, today's presentation is not going to be an exposition on a scriptural verse.
And it's not even going to be an explanation of a verse, but it will be an application of a verse. So you got all that straight? Okay. First one I'd like to look at is in Ephesians chapter 2. You've probably heard it and maybe even memorized it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I realize that we're 1 hour short of sleep last night. So, Dave Pelletier, if you get tired, just lay back and take a nap. You'll feel a lot better when you wake up. And Dick, same way with you. Anybody else is fine. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. So you've heard those before, but sometimes it's a three-legged stool, and sometimes we focus on leg number one, sometimes two, sometimes three. Salvation is by grace, that's the source. It's through faith, that's the channel. And the works are the result. So the source, the channel, and the results. So as Beth and I go to this or to any other place, by the way, I asked specifically if I could work with the nicest looking lady out of the 500 people who are there, and you see I got my wish. There we are. When you first go into the area at Boone, they let you take a picture and watch a movie about Samaritan's Purse, and it's a good group of people. There are 9 separate processing centers around the country, and this one is the smallest. The others I've heard described, and we like to go back to Boone because it is the smallest. There's only about maybe 400 people working there at a time. It's almost like coming back home on vacation. But what we're doing there is just like everyone else, and that is that we're doing some of those works that God has prepared for us to do since the foundation of the world. It's not that we're all that special, just any more than anybody else is special, but we are believers, and I think every believer has the responsibility as well as the opportunity to do something to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And this is just one of the things that can be done. There are thousands of ways to do similar things, whether it's in CAECO, or in Camp Bluff, as Mitchell has his picture on that newsletter that goes around. There are so many different ways to do it that probably is as diverse as the number of believers there are in the world. This is just one thing. And those are some of the works. And the other verse I'd like us to look at least at the beginning, is in Matthew chapter 28. It's another one that should be very familiar with you. And it starts down in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28. And this is right at the end of the gospel. It's called the Great Commission. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." The Great Commission. It's good to have marching orders, and those are our marching orders as believers. I probably will never make it to Uganda or Rwanda or any of the other Andes, any of the countries in Africa or Asia. You know, I'm well past the age of being able to comfortably travel around the world. But there are ways that any of us at any age can take advantage of modern technology so that we can actually be part of that Great Commission. And one of the ways we do it is through Samaritan's Purse.
I have a couple, maybe even three video clips that I'd like to share with you. And you got to understand that the videographer was really an amateur when he did this. That's me. I'm the one that took it with my little old iPhone. So not only do they have accents, but they probably will be difficult to understand. And I hope that you'll be able to understand it. Let me get this going here.
Why people will do what you're doing. But that's the seed that you're planting. And let me tell you, there's no perfect diplomacy other than what you're doing. You can go to another country and just preach about Jesus. You can go to another country and preach about democracy. But giving the gift and the child receives it, that action, that is the butter and bread of ministry. Child receiving it, understanding the there. Faith builds human beings up there that love Jesus and care for people that they don't know. That's you guys are going out and making disciples. This is you making disciples of all nations. Just here. Once that child receives it, just like I did, it's a seed planted. One day they stand here, just like I'm doing. And tell you a great story of how it changed their lives. Thank you very much.
Did you hear what he said? This young man is from, I thought it was Rwanda, but Beth said it was Uganda, and her ears are better than mine, so we're going to go with Uganda. He saw a lot of evil in that country, as you can imagine, under Idi Amin and some of the difficult things that were experienced there. In another short clip that I didn't play today for want of a time to do it, he talks about the evil on the one side and the good on the other side, and it reminded me of the saying that the theologian said one time, that the line between good and evil lies through the heart of every man. Ever think about that? That dividing line between good and evil goes through the heart of every man and every woman, for that matter. He saw both. And the point that he made in that clip and on this one was that once you become a Christian, you're making disciples by what you give to someone else. That act of love and putting things in a little shoebox that can change the eternity for people who see it and hear it and act on it. It's pretty remarkable, really. That we're able to do things like that sitting here in Katy's, gathering little baby dolls at the general store or what do they call them, Dollar General and those kinds of stores, and putting them in a box and sending them around. In every one of those boxes is a presentation of the gospel called The Greatest Journey. And every one of those children, and sometimes their parents, will have an opportunity to come to know the Lord because of those boxes that we pack and deliver. So that was the message of how to fulfill, how to actually work out, how to apply Matthew chapter 28, even if we stay here in Cadiz. This, and by the way, I said it's not going to be an exposition or an explanation, but I hope that you'll learn from some of these pictures that we have about the specifics that we can do when next time rolls around for the shoeboxes that are distributed next year. This particular organization called the Pencil Granny and Friends. Can you see that okay? Pencil Granny. They hundreds of thousands of little packages of school supplies, pencils, erasers, things like that, are put in a small plastic bag. And when you put them together and put a little message on the outside, it provides them with the opportunity not only to take it and use it as a school supply, but also to know that there's some love coming from the United States as a result of that. God loves you so much, this one says. These school supplies were provided by the Presley family. You can put any kind of a thing on there you want to, but if you just go online to the Pencil Granny, and they can tell you where to send it. And I think it was a great idea. This is another one. Study to learn. Try and you will succeed. Don't stop until you succeed. The Pencil Granny and Friends. Anyway, this is what it looks like when they're all packaged together. 100 of them per carton. You know her? Oh, that's right. I forgot. The Pencil Granny is an over-the-road trucker. Millions of miles under her belt and hundreds of thousands of packages of school supplies. I'd forgotten all about that. Thank you. Dick, do you know her? Okay. Maybe someday. This is what a box of it looks like. Just package after package after package after package. It goes into something like that. This little guy, the reason I put this up here was to remind us to get things that are small. I mean, he's weird looking, I got to tell you that. But large stuffed things just don't fit in shoe boxes very well. But something that can fit in your hand is far more valuable than something that's big and you can't put anything else in the shoe box. So this little guy, I wish I had my hand up there beside him, but he's less than the size of a hand. And this one is to remind us, don't send crossword puzzles. I'll tell you a crossword puzzle story. We worked all day cutting out pictures and cardboards with case cutters, sticking them inside of these little bags so that they could have a crossword puzzle. I'm sorry, jigsaw puzzle. I said crossword. I make that mistake almost every day. Jigsaw puzzles. Don't send jigsaw puzzles unless they're prepackaged and you don't have to open it up. The problem is a 1,000-piece puzzle with only 998 pieces is not very valuable. We have bins of free things that are given away, and when we fill up one of these 4x4x4-foot totes, as we would call them here, and you find little puzzle pieces in the bottom of the tote, somebody got shortchanged. It's just not worth the effort. So, word to the wise, please, just don't do it. Okay. This one is to remind me that even the simplest thing that is small can be a valuable thing to someone who gets it. The goal of Operation Christmas Child is to give one gift per child for their entire lifetime. And they don't have enough stuff to get that done. When they send out 10, 11, 12 million per year, it's still just a very small part of the number of children who are alive today. The man from Uganda, that was the only gift he ever got in his entire childhood. And over again, we hear from people who are in their 20s and 30s now, who said that was the only gift we'd ever gotten. Can you imagine? That's the only thing they have. But thankfully, it was a valuable gift, not because it had stuff like this in it. I mean, these are not only a dime a dozen, there's probably a dime a hundred coming from China. But it's valuable because it gets their attention and allows them to read the gospel and to understand what's going on with it. And by the way, they remember these things. That's another thing that it's hard to emphasize enough. When they get a gift at age 5 or 6 or 10 or even 12, they remember that. I'll give you a story. People remember kindnesses that are done to them, even if it didn't seem like a whole lot at the time. There was a guy, he's passed away now. He was a well-known, well-respected, wealthy publisher in Great Britain. Lord George Widenfield is the way we would pronounce it. He was an advisor to kings and prime ministers and presidents. When he was 94 years old in 2015, he took it upon himself to rescue families, Christian families, from the area that was controlled by ISIS. Remember ISIS? The Islamic State in the area, they wanted to be the whole world. But anyway, he was criticized for only rescuing Christians. What about the Yazidis, they said? What about the other ethnic minorities that were there? And at first you might think that he did it just because he was Christian and wanted to rescue other Christians, but it turns out he was Jewish. And the way you really pronounce his name is Weidenfeld. He was German Jewish. In 1935, when he was just a kid, a group of Christian Quakers undertook for themselves what's called kinder transports, where they would rescue kids out of the Hitler regime under Adolf Hitler and bring them to Great Britain. And his reason for only rescuing Christians was that, even though I'm Jewish, back when I was a kid, they saved my life and the lives of many of my friends, and I owe a debt to the Christians. That's why I'm only doing Christians. Well, the same thing is true when these kids get gifts. The only gift that they'll have for all of their lives or all of their childhood, they remember it. And of all the speakers that we heard come through, that's one thing that they said was, we always will remember that day when we got that gift. This is what it looks like when the boxes go into the cartons, before they go onto the containers, before they go onto the ships, which takes them overseas to put them in other countries. This picture, believe it or not, guys, reminds me of hauling wheat. Now, several of the people here help us haul wheat. And the reason it reminds me of that is that every semi-load of wheat that we haul, you know, is 1,000 bushels on it. But each of those bushels represents 60 loaves of bread. So that every semi-load that we haul, Mitchell, represents 60,000 loaves of bread that somebody gets to eat. Each one of these boxes, even though they go on containers and they're huge boxes, and every hour that we work at Boone, there are somewhere from 3,000 to 4,000 boxes processed and put on the containers ready to go overseas. Every one of those boxes represents a child somewhere in some country that gets to hear the gospel. So while we are concentrating on numbers and cranking out the numbers and working, every one of them represents a life. Well, I don't know. I'm not real fond of little stuff like that, but I know he's a popular something or other off of some movie somewhere, and you guys can tell me all about it. If it's small, if it's cuddly, if it's cute, it's an acceptable thing. But just don't put in great big ones. Little bitty ones are fine. What's his name? Who can tell? Ah, I knew you'd know it. I didn't. I don't know. Who would have ever bought something like that? And yet there are totes after totes after totes of things that I wouldn't pay a penny for, but are valuable when they get to the other end of the channel. In Africa or Asia. Oh, here's a cool one. You know what that looks like? It really is that. It's a whole stack of empty medicine bottles. They've taken they're used medicine bottles. They've taken the labels off, and they've stuffed every one of them with needles and buttons and thread and little pieces of fabric. Almost free. And yet, that's a really valuable thing for the middle-sized and larger girls. That's great. There's one of them close up, and you can see they're just jam-packed full of neat stuff. This is almost free, a little fabric thing made into a, what did you call them, pillowcase dress? Is that what they're called? Anyway, if you enlarge the picture, it's size something, it's upside down. But anyway, it has the directions on how to put the thing together, and some people take it upon themselves to do hundreds and thousands of these things. Again, this is not an exposition of Scripture. It's an explanation of how we can make it apply to us as we do this. This is only one of thousands of different ways that we can do the Great Commission.
Are they homemade? Yeah.
Okay. You can tell they're tops, right? The reason I think this is neat is because even I could make one of these. David, the woodworker, anybody who works with wood, Mitchell, Bennett, anybody, you order the little wheels online. They're really, really cheap. You get a dowel to stick down at the same size as the center hole, and you put the dowel in a pencil sharpener. That's what makes it pointed on the end, and you've got a top. Isn't that cool? Ingenuity. Somebody was really bright that came up with that. We're well protected at this one and other places. There are police everywhere. And they're all friendly. They're all neat guys and ladies. There's another one. When I took that picture, just to the left was one who was retired but wanted to come in and visit. So there's a lot of protection in that area. Here's another one. Sniffing for drugs, sniffing for explosives, sniffing for anything that shouldn't be there. Pretty cool. He was a popular item, by the way. Friendly.
You're all special volunteers. We love you all. But I'm very thankful for our law enforcement, our first responders. We also have members of our North Carolina State Highway Patrol. You honor us to be here today. We are thankful for the money we pray for you all, and the work that you do to keep our community safe, our streets safe. And I know you see the worst of us. And some people can be real nasty when they get pulled over. For that, I apologize. And for me, when it's my turn to get pulled over, I apologize as well. So we love you very much. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Thank you.
One of the things that's kind of neat in seeing while we're there, almost every year we've had one member of the Graham family who has come in to wish us well and thank us for being there. This is Edward Graham, who is the youngest son of Franklin Graham, grandson of Billy Graham. He was in Special Forces for, I think, 16 years, and several deployments overseas. In fact, supposedly to the guy who was explaining to me all that to me, one of my bosses, who was there on site, said that he and his father were the ones that kept the army from bombing the Kurds when they found out that the Kurds were on the side of the United States. They had been sold a bill of goods to believe that the Kurds were our enemies, and they, lo and behold, they were not. So Franklin and Edward went in and talked to him and got it turned around. Amazing. This good-looking guy... I'm just holding these things up to let you know that anything that might have been cast off from some college or high school, they'll be welcome when they get overseas, right? Another example. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is it's just a picture of one of the state policemen who showed up to help. There's quite a few policemen there who are actually volunteering and coming in their off hours to help process shoeboxes. This is one of my second or maybe my third favorite toy of all. A small lamb. I think I brought a couple of these back in years past. And you wind it up and it plays Jesus Loves Me. The story behind that was that when Mrs. Graham, Franklin's mother, I guess that would have been Billy Graham's wife, was still alive, she said, I would like to have one of these lambs in every shoebox that goes out. When she passed away, that took it from 4 million or 5 million at the time, but there was a foundation that was set up by her friends who committed to doing 1 million per year. So there are 1 million of these, but they have to be really sparing with how they distribute them, because if you're sending out 10, 11, and 12 million a year, that just means that only 10% get a lamb. But they're cute things, and what can I say? They're just a real, really great thing. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Okay, go to the next one. One of Beth's jobs was shopping. You go from bin to bin to bin and put a few things together to put them in here, and then these go to the lines which process the boxes. By the way, Beth had had fever and laryngitis, And I kept telling her, honey, you ought to stay in the hotel. And she says, no, I'm going to go do our shift. But a lot of times, as you can tell from some of the videos, it's pretty loud. It's I've described it to other people as a factory where the most commonly used phrases are please and thank you. And every hour and a half you have prayer. That's what it's like. You're there to work. And that's what we do. Little gaudy stuff like that, believe it or not, you know, goes over really well. This is another thing about size. See the big stuffed animal on the left and the vacuum pack one on the right? Anything that can reduce the size of something like that is very valuable. Oh, why not? Okay, let's just give you kind of a feel for what it's like. A factory where they say please and thank you a lot and have prayer session every hour and a half. Guess where they went? The first two-thirds of the time we were there, they went to the nation of Ukraine. That's 2 years in a row now that we've had a big chunk of the ones that we have done have gone to Ukraine. And you remember the story from Eric Mock about how difficult life is there. The other third of the time that we were there, they went to South Africa. So you'll hear in the next video, and I'm going to have to wrap it up here because I expect the food's getting ready. More gaudy stuff, piles and piles, millions and millions of stuff, things like that. Yeah, anything that's small and flat is welcome. This guy is about the size of a hand. That one is about the size of a hand. About one out of every 200 or 300 boxes has to have some kind of surgery. It's a shoebox hospital because they get ripped and torn and things don't turn out so well. But and that's what this specific place is for. Crocs, you know, what a croc. It's talk about stuff that's been discarded. Remember when Curtis put the Tennessee flag up in Alaska? Well, there's boxes and boxes of Tennessee T-shirts that got distributed. So if you know of somebody who has some that they're going to throw away, whether it's Tennessee, Kentucky, or anything in between, just bring them in, put them in a shoebox.
But you know that yours are the last hands that touched the island in this box until they're open in South Africa and the child looks at what's inside. I think that's incredible. And we're praying for each and every box and each and every carton that goes forth from this place. And we know that the Lord's going to be performing miracles that we can only imagine. So let's pray. Please place your hands on the boxes and cartons and let's bring this before the Lord. Lord God, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be a part of this ministry. And we ask that you'll be with this box and this one and the cartons and all that they represent. We pray that each and every box will be placed in the hands of a child that you have chosen to receive them. We pray, Lord, that they'll be thrilled not only with what's inside, but especially we would pray that they'll come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we use these in a miraculous way. We know that you will, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Another simple pattern. Cut a little piece of fabric out that looks like a doll. Put some stuffing in it. Catherine, you could put two of these together and make a doll, right? Well, what can I say? There's a dinosaur. This lady grew up just a few miles from where Beth grew up. And with Beth's laryngitis, it was kind of fun. Beth would whisper into my ear, and I would tell the lady what she said, and then the lady would talk back to her. But anyway, they made a connection there. Her husband, by the way, was one of the hardest working men I've ever seen in my life. He would not stand still for a second. Whatever was necessary, empty boxes, full boxes, giving directions, telling me what to do, telling me what not to do. He was a great guy. They were a good couple. Now, the last clip, and it's taken longer than I thought it would. This, you'll have to listen closely because this interview I did with a guy whose whole career was spent with UPS. Ups, you know, the brown delivery company. I don't know what level he was, but he was a cut above most people. Grew up in northern Alabama, still lives in northern Alabama. He retired from UPS, and he's now, he and his daughter are raising purebred Herefords and sell the Hereford. But this is it has to do with a visit they took to somewhere in the Caribbean, and you'll have to listen kind of close because it's done when all the work is going on, so it's going to be difficult to hear. So listen closely.
Hi, I'm Brian Morgan. My wife, Stacy, and I had the opportunity to go with Samaritan's Purse down to the Dominican Republic. You know, one of the things that we noticed right out of the gate was the difference between poverty and some of the areas that had tourists and was well-funded. And I can tell you that the poverty level there is something that we just don't experience in the States. You know, these young kids running around, but what we noticed is that they came to church with the best that they had. See these little ones dressed in their little dresses and these young men that had their Sunday best. It sounded like something that you'd hear in America, you know, back at the turn of the century. But when they came, it was the only gift that they're going to get for most of their youth life. We had an opportunity to talk with some of the folks that were about 17 to 21 that were helping us out. And they said, you know, I remember when I got my gift. And it's kind of like that. You hear me? And there's this experience that only comes once in their young adult lifetime is they get the gift from the church that shares this gospel. And it's with this gift of giving some little small present. And they will identify that for the rest of their life, that Jesus is the gift of life. And it's something that is just something you can't see in movies. But when you get to see it from the eyes of a child and the expression on their faces, it's truly authentic. And it's just something that everyone needs to know of what you're doing for Christ, what you're doing for these kids. It's just special. And I would encourage everyone to get involved with Samaritan's Purse Operations Christmas Child. You won't regret it. It's one of the best things you ever did in your life.
What can I say? He's a believer. He was a good man to get to know. And that is the end of my presentation. Any quick questions before the food is ready? Go. Right. Not new boxes, no. But what you do, we're filling in any gaps that are in a given box. My favorite one, I think I have told you guys, was one that a kid packed that had a feather and a pencil. That was it. So the shopping that Beth did was to go to the totes and pull things out and put them in the little containers, put those containers over in the lines, the factory lines, if you will. And then when there's a gap in a box, you fill in with the stuff that people have donated. A lot of these things, a lot of the huge pallets full of goods or the toys or the stuffed animals are things that just didn't sell in Indonesia. Most of them have Made in China written on them because that's the way things are here. So did that explain it? Okay. There's one distribution center in northern Illinois. I don't remember the name of the town, Debbie. But they specifically make boxes for things that they know will be allowed for a specific country. You might think you can send them anywhere, but you just can't. You have to be really careful. There's a growing list every year of things you cannot include in a box. And all of those lists are published and posted so that we know not to put those things in. That's right. But it's really nice to know that when they throw all that stuff out and put it on a table, people like me can go by and pick one up and eat it. And I did.
Just to make sure it was safe.
Yeah, yeah. Wanted to check it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your attention. Let me say one more time. This is just one way out of thousands of ways that we can all do something to fulfill the Great Commission. So if you don't mind, why don't we stand and have prayer? We'll close out. And it's time for food. We'll have prayer next door for the food. All right, let's pray here. Father in heaven, we thank you for your provision. We thank you for telling us we should do things like this and for giving us the opportunity to do it. Pray that you would help each one of us to know what it is we should do and what part we should play in the furtherance of your kingdom. Pray your blessing on this organization and others that are doing the same kinds of things in other ways. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed, right? Okay.